I often start off with questions, don't I? And in this question, has anybody here really, really looked forward to something? Something's coming up and you really, what?
Christmas.
There you go. Anybody else? What kind of things do people really, really look forward to? Like wedding, right? When you get to marry such a beautiful woman as I did. What other kind of things do people really, really look forward to? Birth of the grandchild, that's always a blessing, right? Birth of your child, yeah. Might be a trip. Some people look forward to a trip. You've got a cruise coming up. Can't wait to get on the boat. Wedding day that I mentioned. And Augie got one that we always have to think about, which is Christmas. Because at least as a kid, and kids, I was a kid once. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Yeah, you think so?
Everybody gets to be a kid?
Well, when I was your age, I just couldn't wait for Christmas. It truly was a magical season for my brothers and me. And boy, did I want it to arrive weeks ahead. It seemed to take way too long. And then Christmas Eve, we just couldn't wait for Santa Claus to come. And my parents, there'd be the full stockings. My parents were smart enough, they would not put those stockings in front of our bedroom doors until about 5:30 in the morning, because they knew as soon as that stocking was there, we were up for good, opening it up. And somehow, I don't know about the rest of you, I may have mentioned this before, somehow every year the stocking had a huge orange at the bottom of it. We wanted more toys, not a huge orange. And then, to torture us more, after they finally got up, another hour or two, they get some sleep. We'd go downstairs, we'd see that tree, and there'd be all kinds of gifts under that tree. And we knew a lot of those gifts had our name on it. But do you think our parents let us go run over there and open them? No. We had to eat breakfast first. And you know what? Depending on where you were sitting at the table, you could see the tree with the gifts underneath. As I've said in my notes here, the horrors, the anticipation could have killed us. We wanted to see what we had. She's got an awesome smile. She's giggling at me. There you go. Does anybody else feel that way about Christmas? Do you feel that way about Christmas? Yeah, we see some kids' hands. So what do you think? Did anyone really, really look forward to the first Christmas? Did anyone anticipate Jesus' arrival? Now, in the adult Bible study, the last couple of weeks, we've been studying the Christmas story. And part of the Christmas story is in Luke 2, 22 through 26. So let's turn there. Luke 2, 22 through 26. And I went right past it. Luke 2, 22 through 26. Are we there? Okay. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him, who's him?
Jesus,
exactly, up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. I think this probably meant that they didn't have a lot of money. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Before he had seen the Lord's Christ. What was Simeon waiting for? What does it say he was waiting for?
Messiah.
I'm sorry? The Messiah, right. The consolation of Israel, which was Jesus. He did the translation for us just right there. So it is clear that before that first Christmas, Simeon was waiting for, was anticipating the arrival of Jesus. But you know what? That might, if you think about it, might have been a fluke. A one-off who only knew Jesus was coming because it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. But if we read just a little further on in Luke 2:36 through 38, we can see it wasn't just Simeon. So Luke 2:36 through 38. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and speak of him to all who are waiting for what?
Redemption.
The redemption of Israel. Now, technically, that does not say that the prophetess Anna was looking forward to Jesus' arrival, but it seems pretty likely, doesn't it? And what does it say she spoke about it? Who does it say that she spoke about it to? To all who are waiting for what? The redemption of Jerusalem. And who is the redemption of Jerusalem? You can translate that for us, Augustine, too. Who's the redemption? The Messiah, right, Jesus. So it's pretty clear that back at that first Christmas, some number of people look forward to anticipating the arrival of Jesus. And when he came, they were pretty excited. With Anna, it says, at that very hour, she started thanking God and telling others about the baby Jesus. And with Simeon, if we go back, let's look at chapter 2, verses 27 through 32. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. Simeon was pretty happy about what he saw, wasn't he? Yeah? That's because Simeon was a smart, faithful man. But that leaves us with a question. Why was Simeon? Why was Anna? Why were the others actually waiting for the consolation of Israel? Waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem? Why were they waiting for Jesus? Now, back in my sermon, I promise, that was on September 4th, I mentioned the proto-evangelium. You guys remember that term? The proto-evangelium. See, that's why you get a religion degree, so you can learn big terms that nobody else would understand. Let's turn to Genesis 3, and we'll look at it. Genesis 3, 14 and 15. Genesis 3, 14 and 15. Are we there? So, well, let's just go ahead and read it. The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So that's just after Adam and Eve listened to the serpent, to Satan, and ate from the forbidden fruit. Just after humankind needed a savior because our first parents decided to bring sin, at least from a human perspective, into this world. And right from that point, with the proto-evangelium, or it really means the first gospel, God promised to send Jesus. That's her offspring, if you look back at those verses. So right from the beginning, God told everybody that he would send a Savior, right from day one of needing a Savior. But God didn't just leave it there. This is an excerpt from an article by Walter C. Kaiser Jr. It's on the Billy Graham Evangelical Association website, and the article is called The Promise of the Messiah. In his Encyclopedia of Biblical Prophecy, J. Barton Payne itemized 127 messianic predictions involving more than, get this, 3,000 Bible verses, with a remarkable 574 verses referring directly to a personal Messiah. My book, The Messiah in the Old Testament, examined 65 direct prophecies about the Messiah. These incredible promises formed one of the most central themes of the Old Testament, the coming Messiah. The word Messiah, or anointed one, in Greek, Christ, so when you say Jesus Christ, we treat it like it's his last name, but it's actually a title. But when you say Christ, it's taken from Psalm 2:2 and Daniel 9:25 through 26. The term took its meaning from the Jewish practice of anointing their priests and kings. But this term was applied in a special sense to the future ruler who would be sent from God to sit on the throne of David forever. He is the one that God distinctly identified many years ahead of his arrival on earth in Acts 3:18 affirms, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ, Messiah, would suffer. Likewise, according to 1 Peter 1:11, the Old Testament prophets predicted, quote, the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. The Messiah's coming was not a secret left in a corner, but the repeated revelation of God to his people in the Old Testament. Should Jesus' arrival have been a surprise to the Jews? Based on what we just read. And I could have. I did do a sermon once before about the arrival, and in that one I gave more. But you could see, if I actually started going through, for this sermon, I wouldn't let you leave till I went through all the messianic prophecies, how long would you be here? Probably we'd still be going when it was time to do some math tutoring, because there's so much. So the answer to the question, should Jesus' arrival have been a surprise to the Jews, was no. It wasn't a secret left in a corner. And although its timing, obviously, wasn't as clear as we know, when's Christmas going to arrive this year? At midnight on the 25th. When's it going to arrive next year? At midnight on the 25th. So obviously it's not quite that exact. 127 messianic predictions should have still meant it was no surprise to the Jews. Just like, even though we don't know exactly when Jesus is going to return in the second coming should not be a surprise to us, should it? We don't have to know exactly when something's going to happen to not have it be a surprise. They should have anticipated his arrival back then. We should anticipate his arrival now. Those who did anticipate Jesus' arrival back then look forward to it. Anna, Simeon, all the others that Anna ran to. We who anticipate Jesus' arrival now should also look forward to it, should we not? And we are truly blessed. The thing that we miss sometimes is how blessed we are being able to look back at Christ's first arrival. Let's turn to Luke 10, 23 and 24. Luke 10, 23 and 24. Luke 10, verses 23 and 24. There. Then, this is Jesus, then turning to the disciples, he said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it." Through Scripture, through what I have in my hand and you have in your hands, through Scripture we get to see what the disciples saw. We get to hear what the disciples heard. So like them, we are truly, truly blessed. And a week from today, we do what we do every year and celebrate Jesus' arrival. Before we wrap up, and I said this was going to be a relatively short one, before we wrap up, does anybody remember the quote-unquote faith chapter in Hebrews? Chapter 11. The faith chapter. It lists a bunch of people talking about how faithful they were. And after giving the list of names, it says, and this is Hebrews 11:13, it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth." One of the things promised was Jesus. But they knew those promises were coming, and they, quote, greeted them from afar, unquote. And one of the people, if you look at chapter 11, the faith chapter, is Abraham, of which Jesus separately said in John 8:56, "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." Abraham, unlike us who get to look back, Abraham was given a glimpse of the future. And what was his reaction? He rejoiced. He was glad. Last week I asked, I guess you could say these are questions, but it's really one question wrapped up into a couple lines. Are you looking forward to your reunion with Jesus? Or does it make you hesitant, worried? Now I ask you, when you look back on what the prophets and kings desired to see, what those of faith of old greeted from afar, for what Abraham was glad about, when you look back, what is your reaction? What is your reaction? Do you look forward to Christmas? And I'm not talking about the gifts, the decorating, the time with loved ones, or I suppose with me, the Christmas music. I'm not talking about that. Do you look forward to Christmas as a time where you can remember the birth of the Son of God? And I don't think there's anything wrong with looking forward to the other blessings that we receive during the holidays. There's nothing wrong with that. But let's not lose track of the one blessing that all other blessings pale in comparison to. And what is that? Jesus, exactly, the Messiah, the reason for the season. Merry Christmas, everybody. Last week, we talked about Jesus' arrival at his second coming. This week and next, we have and will talk about his arrival at his incarnation. There is a third arrival. There is a third arrival of Jesus that I want to close the sermon reminding you of. And this arrival, kids, I want you to listen, telling you about a third arrival of Jesus. This arrival is the most important arrival for all of you personally. It is the day that he arrives as your Savior, your personal Savior. If that hasn't happened for you yet, If Jesus has not arrived for you as your personal Savior, Christmas is a perfect time to acknowledge your need for that Savior, repent of your sins, and turn to Jesus, being baptized for forgiveness. Then if you do that, it will be a truly Merry Christmas for you and for those watching in heaven. Cisco, have you ever heard that the folks in heaven are watching down here? Luke 15:10 says this, Cisco. Just so, girls, are you listening too? Ready? Listen closely. Mikey, Augie, you listening? And by the way, I meant to say Augie, but being a parent, I always say the other name first. Augie, you listening? This is what Luke 15:10 says. Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. There is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Have a Merry Christmas and make heaven smile. Thank you.